From our studios in Nashville, Tennessee, we bring you Ask WWCR, a bi-weekly program that discusses the operation of WWCR and various topics of interest to all shortwave listeners. And now, here's the current edition of Ask WWCR.
Welcome to Ask WWCR, program number 520, which is intended for broadcast August the 7th through 23rd, we'll say, Doc.
Yeah.
2019, the 23rd will be a Friday. We're producing this broadcast on a Wednesday due to other things, including your new pup.
Yeah,
to spend a couple of days with your new pup, who's weighing in right now at under 2 pounds.
1.95 pounds, yeah. I needed a couple of days to kind of bonding, so to speak, right? You know, so I appreciate you cutting me some slack and coming in and doing this on Wednesday. But she's doing fine, and I'm real happy with her. But, yeah, she's pretty little, 1.9.
Little small thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you've done that as long as I've known you. This is the longest stretch, I think, since I've known you that you've only had one.
Usually I had three, you know, in a long stretch.
And so you still have the one, yeah, but then you got the pup to kind of keep the other one company.
Yeah, it's also protection for me, too, because I've always had dogs all my life, period. And, you know, my one pup I have now just turned six. So this one being, a little over 2 months old, that gives me some continuity. You know, as one ages, the other one picks up, you know, and all that. But yeah, usually I've had three, and then unfortunately all three of them passed in pretty close to each other about 6 years ago, and then I started off with the one. But I still have always been with dogs. Even when those three passed, I still had continuity, so that's kind of what that was about.
But it's all good.
It is.
Glad that you got a new pup. Yeah. It's always fun, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's great.
And I know what you're getting at. I've got one that's about 10 and one that's about 3.
Mm-hmm.
And the 10-year-old gets, you know, a little fussy and old, and then, you know, gets a little bit spunky when the pup comes along and gets fired up, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's the way it is with the 6-year-old. The little pup comes around and starts nipping on her heels and gets her fired up a little bit, right? Because you had the same thing with that, the one you got now, it's about 3, because it was, I remember when it was a puppy.
Tiny.
Yeah,
tiny.
Yeah, real little.
Stubborn, though.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, Doc, today is August the 7th.
That's right.
And I wanted to talk about this on Ask WWCR, because I think it's relevant to everything that we do.
Sure.
August the 7th, and this does not affect, and I'll ask you to comment on this in a minute, doesn't affect shortwave, but this is interesting. Today is the 5th EAS nationwide test.
Mm-hmm.
Previous tests were in November of 11, September of 16, 17.
EAS?
EAS. And that is the emergency alert system.
Right.
This is coming from FEMA, right?
Right.
So the EAS test. So why do we do this? Why do we keep having these nationwide tests?
Mm-hmm.
The intent of this year's test is to evaluate the readiness of the national alerting capability in the absence of internet connectivity.
This
is from FEMA.
That does relate to shortwave.
The Federal Emergency Management Association
So what you're saying is what happens if you don't have internet? No.
But the internet's everywhere. It's always
there. Oh, yeah.
But this is top priority, and this it goes on to say that this is how the president can directly communicate with the public during a national emergency.
You know, you and I have been preaching that for years, and that's one of the solid pieces about shortwave. The internet can go down.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely can.
And the only way you're going to communicate at that distance the internet is shortwave.
It's shortwave.
Now, we've talked about this in at least one past NASB meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We can elect to be part of EAS, the NASB, the National Association of Shortwave Broadcasters.
Right.
But declined. And I think that it was seriously considered. However, we're broadcasting to an international audience.
That's true.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it ultimately just didn't make a lot of sense, right?
No, because, you know, like when you think about it, let's go backwards a little bit. You know, we've got the sister station here, the medium wave, you know, WNQM and WITA also out of this. That's really where this pull would come from, you know, the medium waves in particular. And the short waves, we don't aim at America, you know. So what good is
we have you know, a lot of listeners in America, which you can't avoid, and that's not our target audience. But
it gets
if folks want to listen, they can listen, right? But this is more local, and this is it's just not in line with what shortwave is designed to do. Do you need to know? For example, last night we had some rough storms here in Nashville, Tennessee, that's and our EAS was going off. People who were in the Nashville area needed it, and this was a powerful storm. You needed to be aware of what was going on, right? It came up very quickly. If our system was also hooked into, say, transmitter 3,
it would be
does somebody listening in Italy need to know that there's a storm going on in Nashville?
It has no value to them.
It's just going to provide some sort of a, you know, an alert that's unnecessary.
But, you know, if you stand back and look at it, what FEMA's saying is that in the event of some national catastrophic thing, what it's saying is probably the Internet is going to be down. And that would be my thought, too.
And we've talked about this a lot.
If you ever listen to Coast to Coast, that's one of George Norrie's major concerns, you know, about this whole electrical grid and the connectivity to the Internet. You know, because your power go down, your Internet goes down. You know?
And you know how dependent we're becoming on Internet for everything.
Yeah, yeah.
To the point where you want to drive someplace that you've gone to before, but you can't really even make sense in your mind of the direction because your GPS is telling you something different. You just following that GPS, right?
Yeah, you got to ask Siri, you know. Hey, by the way, I read this morning that, you know, Siri that's on your iPhones and Alexa, I don't know if you're messing around with the Alexa, which is the Amazon version of your internet at home where you can talk to it and it'll turn you. It turns out that everything you're saying on Siri or Alexa is being listened to and recorded to use for selling purposes later.
You know, for selling, I've also heard that it's used to help to improve the AI and understand better. I have tried to communicate with an Alexa Amazon device, and this is my opinion, but it was horrible. It was dumb. It's like speaking a foreign language or something. There's no interaction. It needs a lot of help. But
Siri's a little weak sometimes too.
Siri's disabled on my phone.
It doesn't do me any kind of good really. But you know, and I understand, you know, because I read that part too, that it's, they're doing it for AI enhancement knowledge. But the real piece of it is that they're listening and they're selling the information and all that. The article I read this morning said that almost a third of all the conversations on Siri had to do with illegal sex operations. And they were reporting those. And I thought, I understand about the illegality of it, but isn't it kind of illegal to be snooping in on the conversation to start with?
That's a tough question. The snooping.
You don't snoop on the shortwave.
But, sex trafficking is a subject
bordering on tough areas there. I mean, do you throw out the baby with the bathwater? I mean, but one thing for sure is you don't face that conundrum with shortwave.
Exactly.
And that's the thing.
You remain anonymous.
And I guess FEMA does have a point. If you got catastrophic troubles, you're probably not going
to
have
beyond significant to me that is the stated purpose of today's test.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you know, last night when we had that storm, the EASs was going off everywhere. Like I got about 8 or 10 radios scattered around, and man, they was just everybody was hitting it, you know, left and right. And again, I understand and agree with you. The shortwave, it's not going to help you much because if we're beaming and somebody in London or Paris or Milano, Italy's listening, they don't really particularly care that we got a storm coming through Nashville,
right?
You know,
but it does stress what certainly is a major talking point and priority of the NASB is that we potentially could have no internet for some period of time, long, whatever, and you're still going to need information.
Yes.
Wherever you are. So,
and you know, it wasn't that long ago, Brady, that you didn't have internet. I know with my students at school, they don't believe that because they were raised on the internet. But, I mean, the internet, and I started my website, docplumber.com, in 93. And do you know that in the state of Tennessee, there was less than 1,000 websites back then?
No, I believe it.
Yeah, and now there's 1,000 probably within 600 foot of you or something. You know? So it's a quick
growth. That was back in the day now, Doc, when you get on CompuServe to look at some scores, and you're thinking, what's this costing me, and it's dragging on, and I just wanted to know if, the Cubs won or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, just so you know, Jeff White at Radio Miami has finally dropped his CompuServe email. finally.
Has he really?
Yeah, he went to Gmail.
Went to Gmail.
Because you remember he used
good for him. Yeah, CompuServe.
I said, Jeff, CompuServe, are they even around? He said, not really, but, you know.
He was an early adapter, right?
Yeah.
Hey, at least he didn't upgrade to AOL. yeah. Doc, we're going to run out of time. There's a couple of things I definitely want to talk about. We've been on a parts mission, as you know.
Right.
We've been working with, want to first of all say this on our program, Kentronic Labs. You know, and it's been publicly announced that Continental's not going to continue to service transmitters.
Yeah.
So we're working with anybody that we can to make sure that we stay on the air, have
parts.
Kentronic Labs has been wonderful, and we're working also a lot with local machine shop here nearby the station.
That's you. You're the one who's responsible for coming up with that idea.
Just seeing what we come up with, right?
Great,
can we make this
idea,
thing? Can
yeah.
we figure out what it's made of? And I gave you something to read because you're a professor. And
it takes a professor to read this thing. You know? Now, tell
just
me,
give us the highlight.
Tell me, this is sort of an overview. This is a compound that you guys have sort of discovered that you're using to put all through the transmitter in various functions, right?
It's abbreviated as UHMW. And like I said, if you well, just give us like a little highlight.
Generally speaking, it's odorless, tasteless, and non-toxic, but it embodies all the characteristics of high-density polyethylene, that's HDPE, with added traits of being resistant to concentrated acids and alkalis, as well as numerous organic solvents. It's highly resistant to corrosive elements, has extremely low moisture absorption, a very low coefficient of friction, it's self-lubricating. It's highly resistant to abrasion, and sometimes 15 times more resistant than carbon steel.
Yeah.
Its coefficient of friction is lower than that of nylon. It's
no friction. You know, these parts all move
like
in the Continental transmitters.
You know?
So you don't want to add anything. This is why we use distilled water for cooling, the filtration, all that stuff you just read. The reason I asked you to read that, Doc, there are parts in the form of in the shape of wheels that are on little things that would turn or move throughout all throughout the transmitter, right? A very significant quantity of this UHMW with all those fabulous characteristics. It's about $21.
Man, that's cheap. And what it says here, it's going to last a long time.
It's going to last a long time. And the way it's described, it's more valuable than gold, right?
Yeah.
But you go to the machine shop, and the guy's like, yeah, what shape do you want that to be in?
And you can shape it into whatever you want. And you can, the way I understand, it is scattered all through the transmitter.
Oh, it's all over the place, yeah. Just had to get the specs and put a little, make a program to produce these things.
And then in future, you can just produce them at will.
But you can see where somebody wouldn't, you know, previously have charged just a ton of money for that stuff because it does everything in the world you could possibly want it to do.
For probably less
than a
nickel on the dollar.
It's real cheap to produce.
You know, yeah. I mean, it's pretty powerful stuff.
We lucked out with that, didn't we?
Yeah, no kidding. And I would say probably at a nickel on the dollar to what you would have had to pay for it otherwise.
Yes.
That's good work. That's real good work.
Doc, I want to close the show.
Yeah.
I mentioned to you off air that we have been working with several different people who are very interested in broadcasting on WWCR.
Yeah,
as you know, the summer is always slow for bringing folks on. You can talk to everybody all you want, but summer just creates a little different mood, and we kind of get to it later. But we have a program that's going to start on the 19th.
Okay.
It's going to broadcast on Mondays and Tuesdays, and the time is going to be 3 p.m. Central. And this gentleman is called A Common Lawyer Comments. And I would encourage folks in advance of that first airing, first of all, you know, take a listen to it. I think you're really going to enjoy this guy. He is an attorney, and obviously has been for a good long while.
Right.
And I think what you're going to find is that you're going to get a good dose of comparative law, which I'm told isn't even taught in law school.
Right.
And I would encourage folks to visit the website commonlawyer.com. And let him know that you're glad that he's on WWCR.
What's he got? Do you know yet what he's going to be on frequency or
anything? He's going to be on 93.50 on transmitter 2.
3 o'clock in the afternoon.
So once this, and I think it is finalized, we may mention that again, but I would encourage our listeners to visit commonlawyer.com if you have internet access. because I think people are really going to enjoy this show. I think he's going to get pretty deep into some topics that people would really, really enjoy to know more about.
Very good.
All right, Doc. Till next time, okay?
All right.
Ask WWCR is a biweekly presentation of WWCR Incorporated. If there are questions you would like to have answered during the show, send them to Ask WWCR, 1300 WWCR Avenue, Nashville, Tennessee, 37218, USA. You can also send an email to askwwcr@wwcr.com. No email attachments, please. That's askwwcr@wwcr.com. Be listening for your questions to be answered on future editions of Ask WWCR.